Well, this morning I would like to talk to you about something very personal. You know, I believe Sister Leslie came to me one time after service, said something like, "You're messing in my business," or something like that. So I'm going to kind of mess in your business a little bit today with the help of the Lord. I want to talk to you about something I would like to title a personal experience. Personal experience. I'd like to go to 1 John, the first chapter, over towards the end of the New Testament. I was reading this week, and just this verse just really, really stood out to me, and would like for us to look at it a little closer and look at who wrote this. And what might have prompted him to be able to write it like he did. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." So the Apostle John, the same one that wrote the book that we know as the book of Revelations, it's my understanding he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and what we call the Gospel of St. John. He's accredited with all of that, part of the New Testament that we have today. And I want to read the rest of this chapter. It's just 10 verses. And I want us to look at it and try to dig into this first verse a little more deeper this morning. It says in verse 2, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." I want us to be able to grasp what John is saying here. The life was manifested, and we have seen it. We saw with his literal eyes the life of a literal Christ. That's what he's saying. I saw that. But more than that, he says, "We have seen it and bear witness and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." Not only is he talking about the literal life of Jesus that he witnessed himself, he was in close fellowship with Christ while he was on the earth. He knew what it was like to maybe keep up with Jesus while he was walking along the road. You know, all of us have a different pace of walking depending on what we're doing. When I'm maybe doing some task around the house, I probably don't walk the same as I do when I'm in town. All of us are a little different. And he knew what it was like to walk alongside Jesus. He could have told you, "Well, he was one of the fastest walkers I ever walked with." And he might have said, "You know, he seemed to stop and look at all of the flyers." I don't know what he would have said if we could ask him. But the point I'm trying to make is John knew what that was like. You know what maybe your spouse is like. "Well, we're going to be taking our time," or "You better be hoofing it to keep up with them." You know, I don't know what the, but John knew those kind of things. But it wasn't just that. It says here, and he and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He came here to this earth, coming from an eternal, a place of eternal existence, and he came here and demonstrated how to live. And when he, after he was crucified, he was resurrected and he ascended back to where he come from. Now, all to me, all of that's in that verse. I don't know if you see that or not, but I see all of that there. He said the eternal life, which was with the Father, Jesus was with the Father in the beginning. He was there when it said, let us make man in our image. I believe that Jesus was there as well as the Holy Spirit. And now he says, shew unto us the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. It was something that was demonstrated to us. Not only did he come and take up an earthly existence, but we saw him depart and go back to, we saw him with our eyes ascend from the earth. This was John's experience. And he said here in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's an appeal for you to be able to have the same kind of relationship that he had. So I want to talk to you about your personal experience, and I want you to have the same relationship with God and Christ that John had. I want to have that. It is imperative, it's of utmost importance that we have a personal experience with the Lord. He said, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Did you know that if you really don't get it, you won't be happy? If you really don't understand something, it'll never be meaningful to you. If you go through life thinking that work is torment, you'll never enjoy what you do. If you go through life and you never experience the fulfillment of achievement, whether it's passing the test, whether it's making a perfect score, whether it's excelling in your field of work, if you never come to this place that it's like, that's a good feeling to know that I pleased the customer, that I was able to complete the task in the allotted amount. I was able to see the finished product. There's things that I'm not an expert in by any means. And when I see somebody that is an expert and they have the techniques and they know what materials to use, it always amazes me when I can look on and see there's no question this person knows what they're doing. I could use other illustrations, but here he says, he's talking about us having that type of relationship to where it becomes meaningful to us. If we're just sampling, visiting, you know, there's some family that's all you want out of them is for them to visit once in a while. You wouldn't want to live with them. I had family when I was young. I can remember going, my parents taking me and we went to visit them, and I was glad when they said it's time to go because I didn't enjoy my time there. But they were still family. I want to tell you, if we're part of the family of God like that, it'll never be meaningful to us. But when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ to the point that we want to be in his presence, And we want to be part of His inner circle, if you will. There's going to be something that develops there that becomes more and more meaningful as time goes on. And it's going to be the most wonderful thing you've ever had. And you don't want anything to hinder that or cause that to be diminished. He says, "And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full." You're not going to get there if you don't have a personal experience. You're going to be kind of happy, but not, your joy is not going to be full. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Okay? So if you say that you're a Christian and you don't really have a personal relationship with the Lord, John said, it's a lie. You don't really have that connection. You don't really, aren't really seeking that closeness with the Lord. It's not going, your joy is not going to be full. And you're really being hypocritical. It's not going to be fulfilling. You're going to always feel like there's something better in life. And if we're not careful, the enemy will present something that on the surface looks better, but really it won't be better. We must have a real relationship with the Lord. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we get where he's at, if we get in the same position, you know, and trying to be able to visualize and to see what's happening on vehicles that we're repairing from time to time, I may be standing at an angle that has a vantage point and pointing at something that's down in amongst something else. Sometimes I can't put my finger down in there because it won't fit, and I take something that's long, a screwdriver, a pry bar, and I'll poke. I'm trying to demonstrate to somebody else, and if they don't get where they're looking over my shoulder, so to speak, they won't see it either. We need to be able to get where he's at, to see things from his perspective. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, in the same place, mentally, spiritually, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we don't need the relationship with the Lord to be able to do the right thing, that you're just naturally good, that's a pretty sad place to be, because we know that without Christ, we can't overcome sin. We're going to fall prey to it. We're going to succumb to it. He says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's willing to help us. You can be willing to help someone, but if they don't want to be helped, you can't help them. And it causes us to struggle many times because we want something for somebody else and they don't want it. Have you ever tried to want something for some... How do I say this? Have you ever wanted to want for somebody else? Have you ever tried to want or wish that you could put your want to onto somebody else or into somebody else? Why don't you want to do the things that would bring more happiness to you or more fulfillment or more reality? We can apply that to our job. We can apply it to a relationship. We can apply it to certainly living for God, for Christianity. Why wouldn't you want to? And in our head, in our mind, and the way maybe you look at it, you might say, I don't understand. Why don't they want to do that? Why don't they want to have, and I don't want to go down the tangent of examples because it might be embarrassing. I don't want to meddle too much in your business, but there's things that I might say, and somebody may say it about me. Oh, why don't he want that? Why wouldn't he want to do that? But you know, that's an impossibility. I can't put my want to in somebody else. But I'm going to tell you, if you have a desire, what is, you remember this verse that has been quoted in this chapel many times, 2 Timothy 2 and 15. It says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You want it? You know you can get it. If you want it, the Lord will help you get it. Somebody, we had a young man working. He works for us today. And there's so many things I could applaud about him. We got two young men that work for the business there that have impressed me. One of them particularly takes criticism better than anybody I have ever met in my life. If you go and tell him something he's done wrong or tell him how he ought to do something different, he doesn't pooch his lip out. He takes it and he changes. He makes adjustments. And when you tell him he's done a good job, he just seems to start to glow a little bit. I've never seen anyone respond so well to input from other people. And another young man, when he came to work, he interviewed for the job, and I remembered, I asked him the question. I said, are you looking for a job, just a J-O-B, or are you looking for a career? And he said, I'm looking for a career. And you know what? I found out he knew what he was saying. Because he puts himself out to learn. And when he's kind of like one of my children in that there's been times that, you know, it's like, you got to show me how that works. You got to explain that better. I want to know. And it's always so encouraging. I didn't put that want to in either one of them. But I appreciate it. And it's causing them to be able to excel at what they're doing. And I can't put the want to in somebody, but I'm going to tell you, if you want it, if you want a relationship with the Lord, if you want a personal relationship, I'm going to tell you it's going to start unfolding and opening up to you, and you're going to look back a few years or a few days or a few weeks or whatever, and you're going to say, wow, I can't believe how much change it's made in my life, if you want it. I can't put that in there, but I'm going to tell you, I can be on the sidelines and I can say, go get it. I can be an encourager and maybe I can help give you some information, and I know that the Lord can help us, all of us, to draw close. If we want a personal relationship, it's ours for the taking. I'd like to go back to this first verse now. It says, that which was from the beginning. You know who that was? What's he talking about? He's talking about Christ. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. You ever hear something? Sometimes when we come together, yesterday, Some of us men were working here together, and I didn't particularly remember hearing any conversation like this, but sometimes when we come together, someone might say, "Hey, did you hear? You hear they had a wreck out here on I-44? Did you know this or did you know that?" And there's a little bit of information shared. Well, you can tell me, well, there's somebody's, that person that was involved in that accident, he was a nephew of the fellow I used to work with 10 years ago. Okay, well, I'm just hearing about it. I don't know this person. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what age they were. I just heard something. And John said here, which we have heard about him. I wonder what the first time John heard about Jesus. You ever thought about that? When did he hear about him? And when he first heard about him, do you think that he had much of a... What was your relationship like then? Not very good. It's one thing to know the name, okay? It's one thing to know the name. Who was that person? This is their name. Okay, well, I'll try to remember that. And I don't know if it's age or what it is, but there's something about me. I've got to have a certain level of interaction with somebody before I start remembering their name. I can meet somebody, they can shake my hand, and they can say my name is and tell me what their name is. And by the time I get home, it was like, now who was that? If I didn't write it down. That's just the way I am. But I want to tell you, if I start building on that and I see them the next day and I say, you're going to have to tell me your name again. I forgot. And about 3 or 4 days into that, I'm going to start knowing who their name is. Maybe I'm kind of a slow learner in that. But once I know the name, you know, you have more of a relationship. So the first time that John heard about Jesus, I don't know. Where was he at? How did he hear about it? Who told him? We don't know all of those things, but there was an introduction. And I trust we're all past the introduction of who Jesus is today. But it goes on from there. He says, which we have seen with our eyes. It's one thing to hear about something. It's another to see it. I'm a native Missourian. I was born in the state. And I moved out of state when I was 19 years old and moved to Oklahoma. And they found out I was from the state of Missouri. So they capitalized on that. And they called me hard-headed. And said, capitalize on the colloquial expression that I had to see it to believe it. And they tried to agitate me with that. I'm not saying they were ineffective, but they did try to agitate me with that. That I was a hard-headed Missourian and I had to see it to believe it. But I'm going to tell you that if you see something, there's another dimension that's added to just hearing about something. I'm trying for us to get the picture of what it means to have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's one thing to hear about that there's such a thing as Jesus Christ and that He cares about you and that He died for you and that His blood can cover the multitude of sin. It's one thing to hear that. It's another thing to start seeing some evidence of that. If you know somebody that knows Jesus, that has a personal relationship with Him, and you knew what they were like before they had a personal relationship, and now you know them, you can kind of see the difference, can't you? And when John actually saw Jesus with his own literal eyes, but I believe he's talking about more than just the literal seeing with his eyes. I believe he was able to witness the character that Jesus had. and he heard the call. And he said here, which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked upon. I've been there and observed, not just seeing from a distance. You know, I can tell that there's some cars sitting outside the window, and I know because they've been here before, I know who they belong to. But I'm going to tell you, if another red one or a green one or a white one come up, I might be able to, well, that's a different white vehicle. That's not my wife's car, and that's not Brother Rob's car. That's somebody, I don't know whose car that is, but it's a white one, I can tell that. But it says not only did they see it, but they looked upon it. He looked upon it. Looked upon Jesus. That means he spent some time observing it. It wasn't just a quick glance, but he spent some time looking. How much time, how much have we allotted in our life of looking in to who Christ is and what he is? And then it said, we've handled. Our hands have handled. You know, there's levels of decency and respect that we should observe amongst us. I want to say this tactfully, but I want to say it clearly. I believe there's an appropriate way for me to speak to a woman that's not my wife. There's an appropriate way for me. And when I reach out and shake a woman's hand, it's different than when I touch my wife. There's an appropriate way for me to interact with you sisters in the congregation and a woman that I meet at work or in any place. There's an appropriate way for that. And there's a very acceptable way for me to be able to touch my wife. I'm talking about physically touching. It's much more personal, would you agree? The way I can touch my wife, well, much more personal. John said, I not only heard about Jesus, I not only saw him from a distance, or maybe saw him ministering in front, preaching to people and telling a parable, but I got close enough that I was able to observe him on a short range observation. I was there and could see, you know, if you're sitting at the back of the chapel, maybe you just come in the door or something, and you wouldn't know maybe whether my toes are pointed towards each other or away from each other. But the closer you get to the front, the more you'll be able to see maybe of my fidgeting and all of those other characteristics. And the closer John got, the more he was able to look upon and see Jesus. But not only that, you know, Peter said, and I believe Peter is the one that said this. It's Peter talking, but it's in John, the 21st chapter. Let's turn there, St. John 21. And it's the very last chapter of the book of St. John. John's recording this, but Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, who did he see? He saw John here. Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Why did Peter even say something like this? Well, I will tell you, the verse above it said in verse 20, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? You remember, John is the one that had the closest relationship with Jesus that he could get up really close and say, Lord, who is it that's going to betray thee? You remember at the Last Supper, Judas was there, and the disciples was all wondering, who is it that's going to betray him? Because Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And John is the one that was able to lean over real close, and he had a real personal relationship with Jesus. He was able to lean over real close and say, Jesus, who is it that's going to betray you? And Peter looked over and he saw John and he said, well, Peter, he's worried about things Peter didn't need to worry about. But the point I'm saying is John had cultivated a personal relationship with the Lord where he could ask him anything. We ought to cultivate that type of relationship with the Lord today. We ought to have that personal relationship where we can say, Lord, how am I supposed to act now? You've seen what my husband did or my wife did or the folks that I work with on the job. You see what they did. How am I supposed to act now? What am I supposed to say back? We need to have that kind of relationship that John had with Jesus where the others didn't feel comfortable. I think if we go back and read the details of that account, there was others that was asking John to ask Jesus. So I want to ask us the question there. How personal is our relationship with the Lord? Are we the one asking the Lord, Jesus? Or are we asking somebody else to ask the Lord for us? How personal are we acquainted with the Lord? I want to challenge us today to be in the same place that John was in, where we can say, Lord, who is it? What is it? Where is it? How can I? And be able to ask Jesus the why questions. You know, it won't be long, and some of these little children that we have here in the congregation are going to start saying, why, Mama? Why, Daddy? And you can give them an answer, and their response will be, instead of saying, okay, thank you for answering me, they're going to say, why again? It's every generation does that. My children did that. They're going to say, why something? And you'll give them a very exact answer, and they'll say, why again? And you'll give them three or four answers trying to be more and more detailed, and their only response is going to be why. You can ask Jesus those kind of why questions. You can have that kind of personal experience instead of asking somebody else, hey, ask Jesus if this is all right. Ask the Lord if that's okay. Would you pray and ask God about something and then tell me what he says? I'm going to tell you, there's a better relationship than that. I want to challenge us to get it for ourselves. I want to be able to give you everything that I possibly can. I can't put the want to in there. And there's some things that Jesus could say to you that I can't say to you. There's some things that, you know, it really needs to be one-on-one with you and the Lord. That's why it's so important for you to have a personal relationship with the Lord. I'd like to end with a verse in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah was a man that had a lot of things to say by inspiration about Christ's coming. And he was talking here in Isaiah 55 about the probability of things not turning out well for the Jews. I'd like to read Isaiah 55 and 6. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And that's what I want us to realize today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The nearest place, many times, is when the Lord is dealing with your heart. If the Lord is talking to your heart today, today's the day. Now's the time. Seek him for that personal relationship. Lord, I don't want there to be something. I don't want, please understand the context of what I'm saying. I don't want my wife between me and the Lord. I don't want my husband between me and the Lord. I don't want my pastor to be between me and the Lord. I want to have the relationship where when you speak to me, I know who it is. I know what you're saying. And it can be something that speaks to my heart. A personal relationship is where the growth becomes. You want to grow as a Christian? You're going to have to cultivate a personal relationship. You want to be able to be successful, to be happy, that your joy might be full, that we read about there in 1 John. If you want your joy to be full, you're going to have to be in a place where you can handle him, where you can touch him. Where you can touch him not like just in the handshake. You know one of the best things about a handshake? You can keep somebody at a distance. You don't want to get real close, you can just keep them out there. You can hold your arm stiff and they can just get so close. You know another thing that's good about a handshake? You can pull them in. Or you can give them a big old hug. Lord, help us to have a relationship where we can get a hug from the Lord. And we can feel him hug us. I'm going to tell you, it's a good feeling. It's a place that your joy will be full. It'll be a place where your relationship with the Lord, your comprehension of what it's all about, will begin to soar. And you'll begin to really understand. And you'll be able to lay aside the things that don't matter. You won't be like Peter and wondering about, what is this man going to do? You'll be wondering about your relationship. Is it still clear? Can I still get in real close to the Lord and say, Lord, who is it? What is it? Why is it like this? Lord, help me to understand. I want you to cultivate that kind of relationship. That's where the prosperity is. That's how we gain ground, and that's how we gain victories. You pray for me.